Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A number of weeks back, I read a story about a young woman who had participated in one of those fitness fun mud runs that was takes place around the country. This one was up in Dallas, I believe. And in case you're not familiar with these runs, essentially, they are obstacle courses for adults designed to challenge their fitness and test their resolve as they make their way through a set of obstacles, many of which are involving layers and puddles of mud. What made this story of interest was that this particular woman went blind in one eye after participating in this run because she caught the flesh-eating bacteria, presumably in the mud. And after a week spent in the hospital and bills totaling a whopping $100,000, a debt that she's going to have to figure out how to pay on her own, because she had health insurance, but she gave it up because she said, "I wasn't ever using it anyway." She now said concerning this ordeal, and I quote, "I'm a religious person, and I believe this happened for a reason," unquote. Well, let me tell y'all something here today. I too am a religious person. And I'm a fairly educated, biblically literate, and learned person. And I don't believe this bacteria and blindness happened to this woman for a reason. I don't believe this was part of some divine plan or great cosmic scheme. In fact, I believe just the opposite. I don't think God had anything to do with this woman's affliction. For as the prophet says in Lamentations 3, verse 33, concerning the Lord, he writes, "He does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." And so I don't believe that God caused this woman to go blind any more than I believe that God caused Adam and Eve to sin, or Job to lose his children and his flocks and his health, or Paul to have his thorn in the flesh. If you read each of those stories in the Scriptures, you'll see that Satan was behind every single one of those afflictions. And thus, we must expose this teleological concept for what it is: a complete and utter lie. The teleological lie is a lie which states that everything happens for a reason. It's a lie that everything is part of some grand plan, and that it has all been divinely scripted. And thus, everything that happens is according to God's active will, which means that God causes it to be. Therefore, we should never bemoan our life circumstances, because according to this lie, there are no accidents and there are no tragedies. There is only God's active will at work. And if it's God's will, what right do we have to question or to lament it, right? But that is not, and I repeat, not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teaches that we live in a broken and chaotic and random world. A world that sin has totally corrupted. The scriptures teach us that God would have that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But the scriptures also teach us that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and that many people will be cast out of God's eternal presence into a place of darkness where it says there is great weeping and gnashing of teeth. God did not want Adam and Eve to sin, or Cain to kill Abel, or Israel to reject and kill the prophets, or David to commit adultery with Bathsheba, or Paul to be stricken with this thorn in the flesh. Those things happen because God has a very real enemy who is very active in this world. And his name is Satan, or Lucifer, the devil. And he is constantly and relentlessly spoiling and contaminating and diverting any and all of God's plans for our lives. And thus, much of what happens to us in our lives, especially those things which cause us sorrow and grief and affliction of spirit, are not part of some divine plan. Those things are the result of satanic warfare. And therefore, God is not to be blamed, and shedding tears and experiencing sorrow are not to be shamed. Yet even amidst the tears and the sorrow, we as Christians do take comfort and find joy and find healing in this biblical truth that God works in all things for good for his people. So while the afflictions and the troubles and the setbacks that come our way, those things may not be part of God's plan for our lives. They may not happen for any other reason than that we live in a broken, sinful, Satan-roaming world. The truth is that even in the midst of those things, God is always active in our lives, working to turn the tragedy into triumph, and setbacks into successes, and sorrows into joys. You see, no matter what set of circumstances come our way, God is always working to reconfigure them to bring about his blessings. Put another way, you see, when your life or in your life, you receive lemons, God takes those lemons and he makes the purest, the tastiest, the most unbelievably wonderful lemonade. Or it's kind of like the GPS devices that so many people use today in their cars, or I guess they've got them on their phones too, their different smartphones. You set it for where you want to go, and then it tells you step by step how to get there. But if you take a wrong turn along the way, you'll hear the voice on the machine say, recalculating, as it figured out a new way to get you where you wanted to go. God does that same thing in our lives. He is constantly working in our lives amidst all the wrong turns, the failures, the injustices, the unfortunate circumstances, the hardships, etc., to get our lives where He wants them to be and to bring about blessings for us in our lives. And thus, Paul wrote these familiar words in Romans 8, that God works in all things for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. So while many things happen in our lives without reason and without cause and without purpose, but simply because we live in a broken, sinful, random world, God still uses those things for His greater purposes in our lives. And all this He does for us because He loves us. And thus, as we saw in our Old Testament reading today, when Adam and Eve sinned, something that was totally against the will of God, totally against His plan for their lives, something that happened with no divinely inspired reason, He immediately recalculated. And He made a promise to send them and to send our world a Savior. Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world as the recalculation to our turning away from God's plan for our lives. He bore the punishment for our sin and rose from the grave that we might be put back on track to a life that loves, a life that serves God. Forgiveness is how God restored us to fellowship with Himself and how He opened the door of heaven to each and every one of us so that we could once again live with Him in eternity. What He had originally planned all along. So I hope you can see that everything does not happen for a reason. Many things happen in our lives with no reason, no purpose. Many things are the result of either our sinning or Satan's conniving. But God, in His great love and mercy, takes all of those things and He twists them and He turns them and He reconfigures them. And then He uses them to bring about our good and His glory. And thus, while God does not cause all things to happen as part of some divine plan, He does use all things to bring about His divine purposes. May we thus live with the knowledge that even in the midst of life's worst afflictions, that God is there with us, and that He is working to bring about His promised blessings for the sake of Jesus Christ, His Son and our Savior. Amen.